Dear Flabby, I have a female colleague I work closely with, and we spend so much time together that we've become close friends and confidants. We're helping each other out with projects. We confide in each other when we're having problems, and we joke together when things are going well. We are both married. There is nothing going on. Nothing romantic between us. And I've always considered our close relationship to be completely harmless. But my wife has been acting weird about her. She calls this female coworker my work wife. You've heard that phrase?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was funny nickname at first. You shouldn't have gone along with it, my friend.
Idiot.
That's cute.
So I started using it too, figuring that's what my wife wanted.
Boom.
Jeez.
Now my wife is upset and suspicious. I don't want to ruin my marriage over a friendship. I don't want to ruin my work over a whacked out wife. My wife does have it all wrong. Are there work wives in the audience who know they're called that? Do they have any tips for me?
I am still fascinated by the fact that we even get these emails. Because if your wife is uncomfortable with it, that's the bottom line. Your marriage comes before a friendship.
Oh, it's so cute when she's so newlywed, isn't it?
Well,
not even newlywed.
I know,
yet,
but
friend.
You're there. You're like, that's wonderful.
And this isn't just a friendship. This is a career. This is somebody you're seeing every day at work. And it's not like I dismiss you from being my friend.
And you know what? You don't even have a window in there, but I can see the blue sky through that imaginary skylight above your head. Yes, it's theoretically. But in real life, all relationships go through areas where you disagree, and you can't just one can't always do whatever the other one wants.
Well,
and you can't control if you're in a situation that's my inner circle is all male.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
You're the outer circle.
But if
you
kind of
can't stand me anyway, so it works out just fine.
Circle of trust.
Sorry, go ahead.
So if you came home, I mean, I guess, like, if I were friends with a guy at work, like, if John were to say, it really bothers me that you make innuendos with all of your coworkers, I'd probably stop. I mean, just even though I disagree, and I think that he'd be out of his mind, my relationship comes first.
This isn't just friendship, though. They're working closely on projects, it sounds like to me. I mean, you can't just all of a sudden say, well, you're more important, honey, so I won't
associate. Let's say you were doing a frickin' frack morning show, and your co-host was a guy, and you guys are not married. Like, the ones across the hall are married.
Totally.
So when they fight, it's just good material, right?
Right.
Do they still fight?
Yeah, yeah.
I heard they had some doozies in years gone by.
Oh, but they've pulled through. They're doing great.
See, that's what I think of a good marriage is.
Absolutely.
Pulling through isn't the same as, okay, dear, whatever you say.
Well, this guy shouldn't say, I'm not going to work with this woman anymore. But
what
maybe,
should he do?
Maybe ease up on the extra lunch dates. I mean, maybe ease up on the use of the word work wife. I mean, he doesn't really need to change too much.
She brought it in.
Okay, well, so... It's not a.
I'm starting to blame here. I know that's part of how the problem happens.
The blame game doesn't really matter, dude.
But it is a necessary step to recovery.
Right.
Blame.
Right.
Blame. Yeah. You got to start with blame.
Absolutely.
Clearly.
Five stages of getting to grief.
Mm-hmm.
1-800-252-1025. Is there anybody out there who is a work wife? Anybody out there? Anybody out there who has a work wife?
Mm-hmm.
Any woman out there whose husband has a work wife and says, it's fine. Or you're on a rampage against the work wife. So if you're in whatever side you're on, if you're in this scenario, call now. 1-800-252-1025. Anybody been on any side of this situation? Is there a work wife that got promoted?
To full-time wife?
Oh, well, that's your boss?
Anybody up there? Is there an actual work wife listening? 1-800-252-1025. Blake in Seattle, hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You had a work wife.
Yeah, sort of, kind of.
I guess this phrase is more popular than and more common than I thought it was, because everybody nodded their head. Is that what your wife called her?
I never heard the phrase before. I'm actually gay. So.
But this would help.
A work husband, I guess.
Oh,
and
not so.
Very dear friend. we worked really well together, interior design. We did a lot of, you know, we're always out shopping, always out having lunch, and we really enjoyed each other's perspective on things. Very, very dear friend. And my other half was very jealous about it. Very, 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 very jealous. And it just, I didn't feel like I should, you know, I felt that my partner was being unfair to my work partner.
Because you guys were not, no hanky-panky, you're just working together.
Exactly, no hanky-panky.
Yeah, but let me, is Blake...
Did he say hanky-pinky?
Hanky-panky, oh. Oh, be nice. Was it Blake?
Blake.
Blake, I'm sorry. Was there an emotional connection to your work partner that was taking away from the emotional connection with your life partner?
I don't think it was taking away. There was definitely emotional connection. We're still very good friends.
Maybe there was more of an emotional connection than with the other guy because he was jealous and he's gone, right?
Yes, he's gone. Yeah. And, yeah. But it was all, it was, I mean, there was other stuff that was going on, but that developed a rift, a much greater rift. If he had not been as jealous about it, then we wouldn't have had the problems that we had.
This is totally, really, totally unrelated, Blake, and I know you called to talk about your issues, but is sand dollar an okay color for a man room? My wife and I just went through paint picking hell. I wish you'd called yesterday. We finally settled on...
You being gay and all.
Yeah, well, he's an interior designer.
He's right.
No, no, I know.
I needed a gay interior designer bad this weekend. If I'd known you, I would have called you. Is sand dollar okay for, you know, football
TV
watching room?
TV football watching room.
Sounds pretty neutral.
That's what we finally decided on.
Yeah, you went with neutral. And a lot of people, when you're an interior designer for them... If you see that they're going to fight about everything, you just kind of go with neutral colors so no one will get ticked off in the end, right?
There you go.
We feel like we wimped out a little. You know, we should have gone bolder, but we did go kind of neutral.
Yep, played safe.
All right, now, Blake, back to you.
Yeah.
And why you called. Because Casey's default position, by the way, anyone else, 1-800, we had a whole bunch of people who dropped off for some reason, so the phones are open again, 1-800-252-1025. Mike, we'll get to you shortly. Blake...
Yes.
Casey's default position is if your loved person at home says, I'm offended by that you do what, Casey?
You be willing to have the conversation and compromise. Don't say, well, you have no reason to be jealous, so I'm not changing a thing. You have to kind of be willing to listen to your partner a little bit.
Right. And I was way open to that, but he was irrational about it. Very irrational about it. I mean, if he got too emotional somewhere.
Well, thank God, in our heterosexual relationships, women are never irrational,
right.
So we won't have to deal with that.
Exactly.
All right, Blake, thank you. Mike in Seattle, hello, you're on.
How are you this morning?
Good, Mike.
Okay, so I'll give you a little background on this particular story. I met somebody at work that was a girl that I was forced to work with through our working relationship. Now, we're not forced to work together anymore, but we are now very, very close friends.
So for a while, she was your work wife?
For a while, she was, I guess, my work wife. But now we have this very close relationship because she's joined the elite group of my inner circle of friends. Of male friends that I've had, you know, since grade school or you know, that long a time.
Is she hot?
Well, she's an attractive gal. I mean,
then you're doing something
wrong. By the way,
wrong.
When your voice goes up, you don't even have to answer.
Yeah. If you're hanging on to this woman and let her into your male circle of friends and she's hot, dude, you're doing something wrong.
Oh, I totally disagree. She's as much of a part of my male group of friends as she is. I mean, she's very close with my wife.
Hold on a second. I want to challenge you on this because I'm gonna because I like to challenge people on things. I don't have any other reason.
Sure.
What is he doing wrong?
If any of your male friends has too much tequila and needs help getting undressed in bed and put and tucked in, because you're a good friend, Are you going to enjoy your male friends tucking them in, or are you really going to enjoy tucking in your female friend when she's drunk?
Wait a minute, that's something he might do wrong. What is he doing wrong right now?
He will. He's staying close enough.
He's naive.
He's staying close enough to be there.
You guys.
To hold her hair while she pukes.
He hasn't done anything wrong. The only real answer is he hasn't. Look, has Obama pushed the nuclear button yet? No. But do I think he might? Yes. But he hasn't done it yet.
You ever heard of an emotional affair?
Does this mean that if I tuck in one of my male friends that's too drunk, that I'm going to do something inappropriate with them as much as I would a female?
I don't know how you swing. Possible.
Yeah, I mean, there's a boundary that he has not crossed
at
all.
That's what you're accusing me of.
Yeah, Spike's already accusing you, and you two aren't even gay lovers.
You're keeping her close enough to be there if she needs
it. Did you say this lady is also good friends with your wife?
Oh, absolutely. Her and her boyfriend are very close friends with us.
Well, then there's no problem.
Yeah.
You're right, but...
Why'd you call?
So why are you calling?
I didn't have a problem.
No, now he has a problem with his male friend, Spike. He's very jealous.
I'm so crushed.
Thank you very much.
If your wife isn't bothered, what's the big deal? Good for you.
Sean and Lacey. Hello, Sean.
How you doing?
Okay. Can you have a work wife?
Well, I tell you what, I don't really necessarily have a work life. I work for a small company, and everybody there is really close to each other. I have a very jealous wife, though, I can tell you that much. Every female at work, it seems like my wife just wants to claw their eyes out.
Right, claw their eyes out. Everyone is a threat.
That's correct.
Is it just the good-looking ones, or just anything female is a threat?
You know, I'd say more the good-looking ones, but...
more of a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever given her a reason to not trust you?
No, I don't think so.
Don't think so.
Huh?
Sort of.
Well, you're a human being, by the way.
Well, I mean,
human beings are human beings.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for that.
Yeah. Oh,
so sweet.
Really went out on a limb there. Hey, Lee is on the other line. Lee is a wife whose husband has several work wives, and she says no problem. Lee, should Sean's wife be jealous?
Well, I think if she's jealous, she has a problem with their relationship.
Exactly.
And you should be able to trust somebody. I trust my husband. I mean, he even went with somebody to get a tattoo. She asked him to come with her to get a tattoo, and I didn't have a problem with it.
That's just a nice thing you do for a female coworker.
Well, my husband is a really nice guy.
Right. She couldn't swab her own bottom when that tattoo was put on.
Where was it?
There.
Lee, you had to ask, where was the tattoo?
You know what? I don't even remember, but I'm sure it wasn't, you know.
Where did he have to go? Like to Vegas for the weekend with her to get it?
No, just a regular tattoo. He has tattoos, and so she knew that he had that experience, and she wanted somebody to go with her.
Well,
all right,
nice.
Fine. Yeah. Yeah.
We have a work wife who's on the phone. We have Brian, who's also got a work wife. So if you just tuned in, the question from one of our listeners about a work wife: can you have a work wife? 1-800-252-1025.
You load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older.
All right, we didn't really get any advice for this gal. Or guy. I don't want to ruin my marriage over this friendship at work, but my wife has it all wrong. Nothing's going on between us. What do I tell her? So if anybody wants to call and answer that question, I don't know what to tell because I'm old-fashioned. I wouldn't have... a work wife. I'm very cordial to people, but I have a few really close friends that are all male, and then very diplomatic to everybody else.
You have a good communication with Mrs. Rivers.
Oh, I don't know.
I think you do. You guys do couch time. You're painfully honest with each other, right?
When you say pain and good in the same sentence, I guess you've got it covered.
Yeah. Some people don't have that luxury. Some people don't talk to their spouse. And if you're talking to somebody at work... and you're,
more than your spouse.
Then you're doing something wrong, whether you're physical or not. Casey brought it up. There's emotional infidelity. Yeah.
Eric has had a number of work wives. In fact, he said, Casey, at one time you were like his work wife.
Yeah, I
But you divorced him.
I didn't divorce
him. He says you did. He says you dropped him.
Oh, Eric.
Well, we haven't been as close as we were, but that's not a bad thing because you're about to get married, and honestly, the intimacy should stay at home. The key, though,
How intimate did you guys get?
never physical, I can tell you that for sure.
But you did a mind thing?
We talk about life and the universe and everything the way that I tend to.
Boy, that's a buzzkill right
there. Did you watch her change?
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, I would say so, in a good way.
I mean, when she was trying out costumes for the Impalers gig,
yeah, he watched her change. But you know what? Eric's the closest thing to a gay friend.
Change? She matured. No, not change as a person. Change her clothes.
Oh, I thought you meant changes. Well, we went shopping together a few times.
Did you watch her change?
Not in the dressing room, exactly.
What are you getting at?
It gets emotional.
I could jump in, but I like hearing Eric's answer.
Should I play tap dance music?
Would Monique be upset with Eric watching Casey change clothes?
Well, the key is full disclosure, for one thing. Monique knows everything that I do with everybody. And you cannot have an office wife if the real wife doesn't know you have an office wife. That's rule one.
Very true.
Well, my wife disapproves of everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is just don't do anything.
I'm with you.
Just be lazy. On the phones, we have Kathy in Issaquah. She was a work wife, and we'll tell you whether it can work or not. Kathy?
You know, the answer to this question is in the first 15 minutes of the movie When Harry Met Sally. And Billy Crystal says, basically, men and women cannot be friends because there's always a sexual thing between them. And those are very wise words, actually. And I'll just explain that I was right out of college, quite young, quite inexperienced. Oh, maybe a little younger than Casey right now.
Thanks for painting a picture. Appreciate it. This is the radio.
What's that?
No, go ahead.
Nice work.
So anyway, I became very good friends with this man where I worked. And we'd go out to lunch, and we'd talk, and we got along very well, and we had a lot of fun together, and he would confide in me, and my boss said to me, this is dangerous, you need to be careful, this is not right, and I said, we're just friends, it's no big deal, we're just friends. So we got into the elevator one day, and he kissed me, and then we were no longer friends.
Unexpected? Unexpected? Unwanted?
Oh, completely unexpected. Unwanted? Absolutely.
How much money did you get in the settlement?
No. I pretty much let him know at that kiss that was not where we were headed.
Oh.
Really.
Did it affect your career?
I changed jobs.
Did it affect how you judge all of us with penises?
What did you say?
Did it affect how you judge all men?
Oh, no. My God, no. I'm married to an amazing man. No.
But?
But I do think that God only gave men enough blood in their bodies.
that's
in other words,
true.
You were sort of sure all men were dogs before this just affirmed it.
We learned that in junior high, Bob.
I never said all men. I will never categorize that way because, like I said, I'm married to a wonderful man. But many men can only think with one head at one time.
Now, do you concern yourself that your husband might, you know, meet somebody at his work? I mean, that there's no fear of that.
No.
I wish I could look at a picture of him right now so we could all be laughing at him together.
Why do you?
That's kind of the way my wife feels.
Yeah. Why are you so confident?
Oh God, Joe! No, don't get me wrong. I'm. I think I'm married to the last gentleman.
Okay, so it's not because he's fat and homely like me. He's actually a gentleman.
I think I'm married to the last gentleman.
You're also a gentleman.
I am a gentleman, too, but I'm a gentleman nobody else would want.
So if a viper from your husband's office cornered him in an elevator and put a move on him, how would you feel about that?
Well, I think you would laugh, probably, at her. I truly do. I have a lot of confidence in him.
All right, thank you. Kathy,
enough blood to run.
William in Olympia, hello.
Hello.
You're on.
Yeah, I was married for about 14 years, and I've always had work wives and
close female acquaintances at work.
Yes, friends. And my first wife was very jealous. I couldn't tell her anything about what was going on.
Where are you going? Who are you going there with?
Pardon?
Nothing.
Why her? Why you haven't?
I don't know, but some of us looked up when you said that.
Honey,
some of us cowered.
Mom,
Joe crouched down against the corner.
First wife. What about the second wife?
Totally opposite. Fully trusting, and I can tell her everything. And I do have friends. I even can stay in a motel room with other women, and it's not a problem.
Are you on like a stakeout or something? Are you in law enforcement?
Nope.
What reasons
do you have to stay in a motel room with other women?
What's that?
Like what are your valid business reasons for staying in a hotel room with other
women? There was no valid business.
Save the company some money?
There was an event in Detroit.
Oh, okay.
And they just didn't have enough room, so I always talk to my wife about it. You know, we talk about everything. You know, I have friends that I'm attracted to, but I talk to my wife about it.
Mm.
And my first wife.
Is she prettier than me?
Yeah, I know. I'd have to make up a story about the woman. Like, I'd have to make her.
Oh, honey, it was horrible. She was hit in the head with a railroad spike, fell out of an airplane, just crushed half her skull. Traduced.
And she's got a terrible gas problem.
Yeah, so sweet woman, but oof, oof.
William doesn't have to make up stories like that.
Wow.
But you know, my first wife, I actually had some things actually happen with her, but it's totally opposite with this my new wife, and I've been married now to her for over 10 years.
Wow.
And I would not think of doing anything to hurt her. I think there's a lot of people a lot of insecurity out there. If you don't trust your partner, there's something there to look at.
Thank you, William. Last call is Brian. Well, we got two. Brian, first off. Brian says he has a work wife. There's nothing wrong with it, Brian.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
It's kind of more of a joke between the two of us. It started off, you know, we're both similar. She's been married 15 years. I've been married 15 years. We've both got kids the same age, and you know, her spouses kind of look alike. You know, she kind of looks like my wife a little bit, and I kind of, except for I'm a lot shorter than her husband. But
now the theory is that somewhere in the back of your mind, and I've heard this many times, that somewhere in the back of your mind, she's always considered a possibility, a replacement, maybe a heartbeat away from your real wife, kind of a thing, a vice wife.
No.
Advice is the wrong word, but you know what I'm saying. An assistant.
No, to us, it's just a kind of a joke, and it's funny. You know, there's nothing there. I mean,
accident were to happen today. I mean, it's just a horrible thing. I don't even want to think about
unthinkable.
It. Spike knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
accident, your wife and her husband cross the median, run into each other, and the two of you are grieving. Is she a candidate? Book is freaking him out.
Not enough blood. Not enough blood.
I hope she's not listening. Blood is rushing to two brains.
No.
No?
We're just really good friends. You know, we're just really good friends. And
you couldn't see yourself after the funerals a couple years passed? You and your good friend here maybe, you know, share a couple bottles of Merlot?
Combine resources?
No.
Let me put it this way. You think that it's just not proper to say it right now, just like Hillary couldn't announce the presidency before when she was a senator.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you got me laughing.
Yeah. That's one defense.
No, we get along really well, but you know, I don't know if we could be in a relationship like that.
Okay, you don't like her in that way. I believe you.
Thinking about it.
You know,
I don't think you took time out of your busy day to call and tell us everything's fine here. There must be some reason you called.
Well, when you first said it, we both just started busting up laughing. Oh.
They were laughing over this joke at work.
Who is she?
Who is she? What does she look like? Is she there with you now, Brian?
Yeah, she's there. You want to talk to her?
Yeah, what's her name?
Oh, please.
Robin.
Robin.
Robin,
yeah.
T. Cradle. All right.
Hello.
Hi, Robin. How's it going?
Good.
You're the work wife.
I am the work wife.
You know the real wife.
Yes, I do know the real wife.
Who's hotter?
Who's hotter? I don't know. Actually, it's kind of funny because we really do kind of resemble one another.
Oh, we knew that going in. You didn't have to mention that.
Two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know if Brian told you what we actually do here at work, because that's kind of the funny part.
What do you do?
We make personal lubricants.
Oh, my God.
Well, shiver me timbers.
You're not in the testing department, though, are you?
Oh, heavens no.
Joe, do you envision that they have a testing
like lab? Does this taste like banana to you?
I dated a condom tester, no lie. I mean,
no lie,
you
got
to test the stuff.
Well, we can. We can take it home and do that, but not with the work husband.
All right, what is the name of the we have a lubricant factory here in our within the sound of our
That's
voice?
That's why my family moved here, Bob.
Yes, yes.
Can you tell us the name?
Can you tell him the name?
I believe in buying locally.
Yeah, yeah, sure do.
Yeah, the name's Slippery Stuff.
You're up there in Tillicum, right?
Nope, Puyallup.
Okay, just a guess.
Hi-oh.
Both sounds that can be made with the stuff, by the way.
Do you own the domain slipperystuff.com?
I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
I'll let you know.
So you work in a personal lubricant factory with your work husband and his work wife, and you're all friends and everything's great.
Yes, it's great.
It's fantastic. And See, then the skeptics would say that even if you'll never act on it and you're both wonderfully high-integrity people, that there's always a little bit of tension between you with regards to, you know, being hot and working together.
Well, it kind of breaks the ice when you're working around the products that we're working around.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
And the thought of, like, if there were, I'm going to make it even worse, if there were a terrible accident and everyone on the planet was killed except for just you two, and you had to repopulate the world, you could bring yourself to do it.
For mankind.
I don't think so.
You're kidding.
What? Is he that unattractive?
I don't believe them, because I could probably bring myself to repopulate the world if I was saving humanity with just about anybody.
Right.
Well, repopulation would be a great responsibility. I know we would always get along well, though.
You'd be the last two human beings in the universe before you'd ever be with him. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying I think my husband might be listening. To admit,
it's getting better. Home sales are down. Car sales are down. The sales of these are up approximately 10%. Pete, what is it?
It's safes.
Safes?
Yes.
Not a safe, but sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. And I do think they're doing a pretty stable business in safes still.
Okay, well, I thought that's what it was. Okay.
All right.
Move everything to gold, put it in your safe. And unless Butch and Sundance show up, you should be fine.
Debbie in Silverdale, hello.
Hi there. I'm thinking cookbooks.
Cookbooks?
Yeah, since people, it costs gas to get to the restaurants. And
yeah, who can afford to eat out anymore?
That's a great guess. I wish it was true.
Darn it.
All right.
And some of these things may be up in sales. I don't have the statistics on every item.
Ian in Enumclaw, hello.
Hello. I think it's motorcycles.
Another good answer with fuel costing. Ooh, looks, fuel's down again. Let's throw out our solar panels and let's get an SUV and a Hummingbird. A Hummer, excuse me.
We got that, by the way.
Did you find out what the Hummingbird was?
We'll
have that in a minute. It's not motorcycles as far as we know, but good guess.
There was a spike over the summer in motorcycle sales, though.
Ryan in Shelton.
Hey, I believe it's home exercise equipment.
Home exercise equipment.
They had something special on the news this morning. I heard about it, and it's one of those things that's easy to cross off the budget, so that's my guess.
It's not that. Although we love home exercise equipment, right, Joe?
And it's a good time to buy as the winter months approach.
Peggy in Bothell.
Yes, hello.
Car sales are down. Home sales are down. Sales of these are up 10%. What is it?
I think it's a boat.
Boats?
Everybody's rushing out to buy a boat?
Boat yeah.
Show the boat.
Why
show
would they
no
do that?
The boat show.
Well, I know it's not really boat season, but it's just popped into my head. I go, everybody's got a car and everybody's got a home. Well,
what else do they need? We need a boat.
Exactly.
Have you looked at a newspaper lately?
You know, I don't look at a physical newspaper. I go online.
You do. So you've read that the fuel prices have been high and that the economy is collapsing and that people can't get a loan.
Exactly. Actually, the fuel is coming down. I was surprised. I paid $2.70 $8 for gas yesterday.
What?
He has a paper that confirms it.
And it's a good time to buy a boat if you want one. I know a guy who's selling a nice boat.
I know a guy who's selling one, too. Yeah. Me.
Yeah. I know a guy who's got three of them for sale.
You know a guy who's got three of them for sale.
Make an offer.
It's a wonderful time to buy a home. It's a wonderful time to buy a car. And it's a wonderful time to buy a boat.
It is.
Yes. Not because good, nobody is yeah. buying them.
Yes, thank you.
But thank you very much for playing.
Thank you.
She's so cheerful. Uh-huh. I would like to spend the Great Depression with her. How's
well,
it going? Well, they repossessed our home.
Yeah. But look at all that blue sky.
Thank goodness we bought that boat. We can live on it.
Tara in Lake Stevens.
Good morning.
Sales of these are up 10% this year.
I believe it's cell phones.
Cell phones, not the answer.
Oh.
Not sure if they're doing well or
well,
cell phone
I did,
companies not having a problem.
I did read that technology in general, computers, cell phones, stuff like that, has not really been that affected. People right. are still upgrading their technology.
Thank you. Joe in Tacoma. Joe, go ahead.
I believe it's sex paraphernalia, sex toys.
I never think of it as paraphernalia. Toys, I understand.
AIDS.
The more time you need to spend entertaining Tools. Yourself at home, I could see that. It's not the answer, but I could see where it would be a growing business.
Eric, hit me with that buzzer again. Right there. Oh, that's good.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
No.
What a bad little broadcaster.
We do have the correct answer. Should we just go right to it or take a couple more false answers?
I don't know if you're going to top the last one, but...
Jake in Puyallup says, home sales are down, car sales are down, but sales of these are up 10% this year. They are?
I think they're guns.
Guns.
You're the winner.
I was talking about getting some training yesterday.
Yeah, about taking some targets.
But I don't have a particular reason. Joe says gun sales are up because of potential of a liberal president... means that people think their gun rights will be taken away. Is that right?
Nobody, I mean, the government keeps statistics on sales. They can't tell you why people are buying, but they think the two reasons are when economic instability comes, gun sales go up. When people are in tough times, when they're in uncertain times, after Katrina, after 9/11, you saw a spike in sales.
Really?
Yep.
When
so if someone's going to come to steal my wood carving of a bear out of my front yard, I want to make sure that I've got a gun to protect my property because are failing? Is that right?
If all the banks collapsed and no one could have anything except what you got, you'd want to protect what you got.
And the other thing is, when there is a confirmed liberal president on the horizon, when Bill Clinton was getting ready to be elected in 92, there was a big spike in gun sales because people are afraid to get them while you can because they may take them away.
Well, that's the drumbeat of the other side, is that this guy wants to take away your
guns. He wants to take away your guns.
That.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jake, is that what you believe?
Yeah, I'm just protect what little we have these days, huh?
Yeah. Yep. All right. You already got yours?
Oh, yeah.
And did you know this answer, or did you just guess?
No, I heard it yesterday.
On the news.
News or something, yeah.
All right. Well, here you go.
It's not just Obama, either. They say McCain is not a huge, you know, guns rights guy. Now, Sarah Palin, that's your
heartbeat away from a gun nut.
That's your lady who it will protect the amendment to keep your shooting.
Dan in Granite Falls is gun store owner. Hi, Dan. How you doing?
Good morning. How you guys doing?
All right. Business good?
Business is excellent. Yeah, we've experienced having kind of a hard time getting handguns in our store. Our sales have increased by probably 15% since April.
Wow.
Is Joe's interpretation correct? Do they assume with a liberal president that gun rules might get tighter and are people just getting them while they think they can?
That's 100%, exactly what we're hearing. Exactly what we're hearing.
Wow. You know,
everyone wants to buy now in case the rules change next year.
Bob was talking about maybe getting a gun and taking some shooting lessons. What's a good starter pistol for him? A little, you know, pink daisy kind of gun, little thing for him.
Well, you know, the best round out there, I think, you know, everybody thinks you got to have the big bore, the 40s or 45s. It's like I say, you know, 9mm will stop anybody.
Yep.
And the way I present, you know, the types of round in my hardware store, I actually make a joke about it. I tell them, do this. It only takes one warning shot in the forehead.
Oh, he's a laugher. We got to leave room at the end of every declarative statement. Eric, go ahead.
Dan, actually, I do have a question for you. Why do you think that handgun sales are up and not shotguns? Because if you want to protect your house, there's nothing like the sound of this.
Oh, exactly. In fact, we sell a Mossberg 500 in there. It's, it carries 8 rounds, and it has a pistol grip. It's still an 18-inch barrel, so it's legal, and it's what we call our home defense unit. And like you say, you know, when you hear that sound of that round being chambered, yeah, you're leaving.
You don't even have to fire the warning shot to the forehead.
You don't
at that
have point. To fire the warning shot when you hear that.
That's well, you offer wonderful. Our listeners a discount if they mention our names.
Hey, I got a question for you. Will these guns also stop a soda can?
Oh, yes.
All right, but then they'll meet my needs.
They'll even stop the old-fashioned metal coffee cans.
Good.
What's the cheapest you can get me into a gun for?
Oh, I can get the handguns up there, and I say handguns because that's what our biggest sale increase has been. For under $200.
Well, that's why I asked, because they had a gun buyback in New York this week, and they were giving $200 gift cards to anybody that would bring in a weapon. It almost
seems
like...
They were trying to get guns off the street.
Yeah, it seems like bring in a used gun, get a new gun kind of program if you can buy one for $200.
Well, I'm all for, you know, home for protection, and the people that aren't, you know, it's like I seen something on the internet the other day, you know, would they be willing to put a sign in their front yard saying this is a gun-free home?
Of course not.
No, no way.
Help yourself to our stuff.
Yeah.
They'd be meat-free, they could be dairy-free, but gun-free would not be a good thing to advertise.
Right. And I give a 5% discount for anyone that wears a loaded gun in my hardware store. I think we need to protect ourselves. And if you come in
I assume they would have a carry permit.
Oh, yes. Yeah. If you don't have a carry permit, you can carry in the open.
This is an open carry state, isn't it?
It is. It certainly is. And we open carry in my store. People will ask me if my handgun's loaded. I carry an old .44 and a Western-style hip holster.
Now, your city laws may vary. I don't think you can walk down Pine Street with an open carry gun, can you?
There is a no open carry ordinance in the city limits of Seattle.
Right.
And there's, I think Spokane's the same way.
You said
we open carry in Granite Falls.
You said that gun carriers get a 5% discount in your hardware store. If I go into your gun store with a tool belt on, do I get a 5% discount on my gun?
If you got a load of weapon in your tool belt.
Whatever.
Yeah, come and do it. I think it'd be fun.
Dan in Granite Falls. What's the name of the store?
Granite Falls Hardware. We're a hardware store, so our gun prices are, we beat anybody's prices. Come on and see us.
Thank you very much. Now I'm out of the whole store. It was the week before Halloween, in 1977, that Meat Loaf released Bat Out of Hell. The record sales took off in exactly that fashion. It's at around 40 million copies now. Bat is one of the biggest selling releases of all time. And Bat Out of Hell 2 didn't do so bad either. With 15 million units sold of Bat Out of 2, what does a legendary singer like Meat Loaf do with his time these days? For Meat Loaf, the answer is he's hosting a game show filled with other rock stars. That's right, Rock in a Hard Place pits crooners like Air Supply against rockers like Quiet Riot, with all the prize money going to charity. Nice thing for them to do. Meat Loaf, welcome to the Bob River Show. Hello.
Thanks, Bob.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Life is good?
Yeah, life is good. What do I do? Good Lord, what don't I do? I've almost killed myself this year.
Well, now...
I've been doing so much stuff.
Yeah, that's all with good work stuff, not like the ways we used to try to kill ourselves, right?
Yeah, no.
No. Because you've made massive lifestyle changes, have you not?
What do you mean?
Lifestyle changes. There's a nice way of saying you've gotten healthier.
Oh, I lost weight. You mean it's... I never drank alcohol. I mean, anybody that ever wrote that or said that has been, they've just assumed something, I guess, because that was never a problem. Drugs are really a minor problem.
Minor. So
the only problem I ever had was I weighed too much.
And that was just changing your diet. Is that all that you had to do?
I went from, the highest I ever weighed was 344 pounds in, sometime 1981, 82, and I weighed this morning 232.
Nice. You feel good, you're looking good, you're having a great time.
I had the flu, so I'm not feeling perfect, but I've had the flu. Yeah. I've had a tough month. I had a really bad case of vertigo, and then I got the flu.
I read something that you were, was it in London or something? You fell down, you got the...
I was in the hospital for 3 days.
Wow, I'm sorry to hear about that.
That's what happened to all those people.
You have, according to sources, cheated death a number of times. You've been in a rollover car accident. You've been hit on the head with a shot put. Your private plane had to make an emergency landing when the landing gear failed. Everything that you've faced, though, you've come through.
Yeah, we've had some interesting moments in planes, I can tell you that.
More than one.
Yeah, more than one time have we had interesting...
What do you hear when you're having trouble in a plane? Do you start to hear Buddy Holly music? What happens at that point?
No, I'll tell you, I'm very calm. Any time we've ever had any problems in planes, I'm very calm. I've had a plane run off the runway. I've had a landing gear not come down. I've had the wing of a plane hit the runway. I can't remember them all now.
Anytime.
The worst plane, and nothing really happened to it except the weather was so bad. Going into Halifax, Nova Scotia, back in '94, and the wind. They just picked the plane up, basically turned it upside down.
Scary. Now,
I've never been really scared on a plane. That scared the hell out of me.
Have you always loved the name Meatloaf? Have there been times when you've...
No, I haven't, actually, because it started, you know, as a nickname with my dad, and then it kind of continued on through elementary and high school. And then...
Do you remember when he gave you that nickname?
No, I was 9 months old. The reason I got the nickname... it wasn't Meatloaf, it was just Meat. Because I was born, I was bright red.
And your dad called you Meat.
Yeah, I look like a porterhouse steak or something. And so, you know, then I used it for a band name in the 60s, and then I got into hair. And then in 1972, when I went to do Shakespeare in the Park, I said to Joe Pat, maybe we should not use Meatloaf. He said, what, do you think if Bill wasn't alive today, he wouldn't use Meatloaf? And so then I did some other plays and other musicals in New York before Bat came out, and I kept saying, well, maybe we shouldn't use Meatloaf, and they go, no, people now know who you are, they know, you know. I go, nobody knows who I am. They go, yeah, people in New York, they know who you are. Theater community, they know you.
What's your branded Meatloaf? You got to be Meatloaf.
And then the record Bat in Hell came out, and, well, they were going to use Meatloaf. I mean, there was no doubt about it. And the next time that anything came around to change, it was a Paramount film with Steve Martin and Deborah Winger in, what, 92, 93. And Paramount wanted to use my real name. I said, hey, I'm more than happy. Go for it. And Steve Martin at a screening was looking at the cast list and saw my real name and said, who in the hell is Michael Lee Day? And he goes, it's not Michael Lee Day, it's Meatloaf. Put Meatloaf back up there.
Put Meatloaf back, yeah.
Steve Martin to blame for that one.
You and Cher were about the first ones to go to single monikers. Dude, you were ahead of Sting or Bono or Prince or any of them.
Well, Meatloaf is two words, so we're different than Cher.
Is it two? Because it's one word.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a hybrid?
He was referred to as Mr. Loaf back when he was selling all those records by the drivers and stuff.
Meatloaf, I got to ask you about...
Two words. It drives me crazy when people put it as one.
All right. In the time we have here with you, which I wish we had tons of time.
Diner food.
I got to ask you a little bit about Paradise by the Dashboard Light. If anything, that's your epic song, and we as a band are actually trying to learn it, And that is like, that is good luck. That is like five songs. That is one of the most amazing recordings of all time. Can you tell us a little bit about like what it was like recording that song? Did you expect it, because it was so long, to ever be ready?
Hey, first of all, it was hell. Well, the original version was 22 minutes long. And Todd cut it down to what? What is it, 8:57 on the record?
Uh-huh.
Todd cut it down to 8:57, and it was terrible. It was terrible, and I wanted it off the I wanted it off the record, but I wanted to record something else and put it off the record. And then a guy named John Jansen came in and remixed it and kind of saved it. So
this almost didn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, it just... Well, if you'd heard the original mix, I think you would have understood why.
Well, it was a very difficult song. Now, very difficult to play. Who's the piano player on?
Roy Bittan.
That's Roy Bittan.
That's what
professor.
I thought.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. If it was 14 minutes longer, what part of the story don't we know?
Oh, God. You know what? I can't remember. Oh. I just know that that middle part of Gonna Go All the Way Tonight was...
Was it a best of three series with Phil Rizzuto? Now.
Huh?
Was it a best of three series with Phil Rizzuto calling all the plays?
Yeah, it was a World Series, best of seven.
Wow. And so it got on the record, and of course, there was the whole record was awesome, but that thing became the biggest thing ever. Do you still, do you enjoy hearing it today?
Do I enjoy hearing it? No, I don't.
Oops, all right, we'll turn it down.
When we do it in shows, I have fun, I have a lot of fun with it.
Okay. Meatloaf in Los Angeles. We can see you on TV with a bunch of other rockers and stuff. Rockin' a Hard Place.
Rockin' a Hard Place. DirecTV 101 show.
That is for charity that you're doing this, right?
Direct 101 has some good programming going on right now.
All right.
So, and Rockin' a Hard Place is a good show. The second season I've done it, and I never watched it, and I watched it last night, and I really liked it. So.
All right, neat. Are you coming to town anytime? Are you going to be on the road touring at all?
We did two shows in Florida. We were supposed to do a couple of shows last week, and I got the flu, and so I'm hoping that I'm okay for Thursday night because we're in Arizona. So.
All right, be well. Meatloaf in Los Angeles. Thank you, sir. Carol Lentz in the news. She loves her dogs. Recently, she had to save her poodle's life. Now, here's the story. Dateline Butte, Montana. 61-year-old woman got into a tussle with an aggressive deer after it attacked one of her poodles at her home on Monday. Carol said she let her three dogs outside, then heard one screaming bloody murder. She went outside her home and saw a doe attacking her smallest dog. She kicked the deer's hind legs to try and get the animal off her dog, but she said the doe began to ram her with its head, pushing her into a fence. She started walloping the deer's head with her fists until eventually it jumped the fence and ran off. Lentz sustained bruises after the deer rammed its head into her abdomen. The dog was pronounced okay by a veterinarian. Now, Carol is on the phone with us from her home in Silver Star, Montana, but she says she wants to set the record straight about this incident. Did some of the reporting go wrong, Carol?
On the internet, I have heard a lot of different versions.
Oh, that it was Donner or Blitzen?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
And at my dogs are not barkers. They are very well-mannered little guys.
Okay.
And that one little fighter, which was attacked, he's a very special Downed syndrome puppy.
No kidding.
So he's a Down syndrome poodle.
Right. Yeah, he's smart, but yet there a lot of his moves are pretty slow.
What's his name?
Little Fighter.
Little Fighter is his name, okay.
Yes. And
so tell us exactly what happened in your own words so we get the proper story.
Okay. Basically, this happened about 3:45 in the morning.
It was 3:45 a.m.
Right. Yeah, there. And the reason why is I've got an early morning paper route, so this is an everyday routine. Well, this one morning wasn't the routine. because there at my I let my dogs out. They went out, and I've got yard lights on my fenced-in yard. And all of a sudden there, my one dog barked twice, and made me aware that something was
something's going on outside.
And then there at my little fighter began to scream bloody murder. So
now, how does that sound? Can you make that sound for us? What the dog sounds like? Can you do an impression?
No.
You can't do that?
I'm not afraid.
Hold on. Well, what kind of a dog is it? Little dog, big dog? Because
yeah,
Spike's pretty good at this.
It's a little poodle, about 11-pound poodle.
11-pound poodle, 11-pound screaming bloody murder. Give it a shot.
Down syndrome.
That's pretty close, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Spike and between us, we'll provide the sound effects for your story here. So first, it's the dead of night. It's still, so maybe some little night cricket sounds or something.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the dog starts screaming bloody murder. That's Dino from the Flintstones.
Right. So I didn't really know what was going on, but naturally I was running out there, you know, and all of a sudden I noticed the gray silhouette of a deer.
Now hold on, before you get any further, you do live in Montana, right?
You're right.
So there's one sound I would expect to hear that seems to be missing. And listen for the sound. Listen. Did you hear that?
Yep.
I was looking for that. You didn't do that.
No.
You weren't going to go out and shoot.
Not yet.
Okay.
Get ahead of yourself, Bob.
All right. I'll let you pick up the story. So you head outside and...
Okay. Head outside facing the rear end of a deer. And a doe deer, thank goodness. And anyways...
why thank goodness it was a doe?
Bucks have horns.
Then they're more aggressive.
They have horns.
Yes. Okay. Definitely. Anyways, there I'm yelling, hollering, you know, pick on someone your own size. Yeah. My hands are flapping, and the deer did not move off of my little dog. So I'm now at the rear end, and the only tool that I had was my feet. So I kicked it, not once, but twice. And all of a sudden, she turned around, and now I'm looking at...
Now, are you trained in karate leg kicks? Because this would call for a little Asian music and a little karate chop.
No, I'm not trained.
Okay.
I got a brother that's trained karate, though, you know.
Oh.
But I also grew up around six brothers, so I kind of learned to... You know,
fend for yourself. You had to kick your brothers a lot, huh?
Yes, right.
Okay.
Right.
Now, dear.
Anyways, I went and I kicked the deer. She's looking at me in the eye, and now I says, "Well, now what do I do?" You know, and I kind of bit off a little bigger than I could chew here, but here I am. So, the next tool are my hands. So I'm now slapping her on the nose, back and forth, as she's backing me up to the fence. And all of a sudden, there I am on the fence, and she's still now pounding me.
She's a deer's pounding you, and you're slapping the deer on the face.
I'm slapping it. Yep. There we go. Okay, there. You get the...
Now, deers don't make any noise, do they? They're quiet during all. They don't growl or anything, do they?
Right. No. Yeah. No, they're, you know... But, no, very quiet. Anyways, there, now the slapping isn't doing any good, so I dug the fist up.
You put the fist up its neck.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I am now doubling my fist up and just hitting it as hard as I can.
Now, are you still pummel at
the back end or the front end?
On its head.
Oh, okay.
You know, in its eyes, in its ears, on its jaw. I mean, there.
What do you think was going through the deer's mind as you're doing this? Like, did it feel trapped, or did it? Was it still being aggressive?
Oh yeah. There, she was still hitting me. You know, and each time she let up just a little bit and moved higher up on my body, you know. And anyways, there I got hit really three different times.
Deer never bit you?
No. There, she never bit me, and thank goodness there she didn't rear up and strike out with her feet, because I would have been cut.
Now, in Montana, deer is one of the better case scenarios to come along to chase your dog. What if it had been a brown bear or something? Would you still run out there to save little fighter?
I probably would have.
Yeah.
Hold on, let's do that. Spike, you can do the brown bear attack.
Hey, boo-boo, we're going to eat some poodle.
Yeah. Yogi.
Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
And deer, she got that.
Deer usually aren't aggressive. In fact, deer usually run away. Is you sure that little fighter wasn't the aggressor here initially?
That's what people were saying on the internet, right, Carol?
Right.
Saying your dog provoked the little deer.
Right, and no.
You're an evil granny who's just out to beat up on animals.
My little guy is a very docile little guy, you know, there, and basically he was going out there to do his business and nothing else, you know.
Now, his business, is that the name of your hamster?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Little business.
All of his early morning things that go on, early in the morning.
His routine.
Whatever that might happen to be. Yeah. All right, well, Carol, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put this interview on the internet straight from your mouth, the story exactly how it happened so people will know.
Great, yeah, there, because there, I'm hearing a lot of stories about my dogs were out there barking and harassing the deer, but no, it was just one of those, the deer jumped in my yard and I wasn't aware of it, and my little guys happened to pass by, and you know there she attacked both of my little guys, you know.
Carol Lintz in Silver Star, Montana. Be well, Carol.
Right. Okay. And thank you guys much for the calls.